Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here in another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonna.
Dave, he is a very good friend indeed. He and I are going to do our very best to share some inspirational thoughts with you today. And our goal and objective is to make your life better. It's the real world we live into. Even at Christmas time, it's real world. That doesn't make us immune from life's difficulties. And how do we handle these things? Well, it's always something for us to try to determine the best path. The greatest qualities on earth are the willingness to become something and do something great. And that's what Dave and I are trying to do. Help to lead each of you through your daily day to do something great, do something wonderful. And we do that with some, a little bit of philosophy and a little bit of life's experiences and a little bit of spiritual development all mixed up together and seeing, let the Bible lead us through some of our decisions. Failure. Failure is a subject today we're going to talk about. Failure is it's really not an event, but it's an opinion. You ever hear people being actively involved in some kind of an effort and it failed miserably? I mean, sometimes little failures maybe aren't so devastating overall, but major failures. How about, a construction company or an information engineering company who had a multi-million-dollar contract and it failed and went down the tube? Do those things happen? You bet it does. And I remember the story of a young gentleman who finally worked his way up through the ranks in the company and they put him in charge of a major multi-million-dollar contract. And it failed, and he was just so scared, so nervous, so edgy. He went to his boss, and he said, "Well, I suppose you have to fire me now. That was a pretty big failure we just went through." Boss looked at him and said, "I just spent a couple of $1 million educating you. No, I'm not going to fire you. You have a great future in this company." You see, failure is an opinion. What constitutes a failure? And we always have to live and learn. We make a mistake, we go forward. We don't let it keep us down. We don't stop. We don't go backwards. We move forward. And everybody has failed at something. Nobody is perfect. Nobody wins all the time. That's just life. So keep a positive attitude. Don't be afraid to go forward because you might fail. You will fail sometimes. But nobody fails all the time. You're never as far from a miracle as it first appears. When we face these kinds of failures or possibilities of doing something different, we always go through a lot of apprehension. Is this going to work? Am I making the right decision? Is this what the Lord wants me to do? Well, the truth is, your answers to your difficulties are only a whisper away. That miracle that you're praying for, just ask. Ask the Lord. And you would be truly amazed at what can happen if you ask. Miracles happen every day. Every day. And there's lots of miracles going on around us. Sometimes you just don't see them. What you do see is what you desire. Hey, and these are all positive things. If you see something great, well, what's the best way to demonstrate that point? Probably is to say ads. TV ads, you see the same ads over and over and over and over again, don't you? I mean, sometimes just by humming a theme song, you know what somebody is trying to sell. Well, what you see is what you desire. So make sure you see good things. Stick around good people, listen to good people and wise people. listen to what great philosophers have to say. People, great people, like my friend Dave Colonin. He shares pearls of wisdom with people day in and day out. If you listen to him, even in a pleasant, informal conversation, the man will be leading you in the right direction. There are people of that caliber all around us. Make sure you seek them out. David, as I think about these pearls of wisdom that you're notorious for sharing with other people, do you have any pearls you'd like to share at this particular time?
Man, Giff, I've been struggling with sadness the last couple of days. Two people that I know very well have gone to their eternal reward. A young man and his wife and girlfriend came to our services in the 1960s. Every time we'd get close to the Philadelphia area, they would be there. And just this last week, he and his wife and his girlfriend were driving somewhere, and they had an accident, hit by a truck, and he is okay, maybe. He's in the Hershey Hospital, has been in a coma for ever since.
Oh my.
It's almost been probably a week now. And we are going to the funeral. The couriers are probably going to sing there on Saturday because his wife and her girlfriend died in the wreck.
Oh, my.
So that's made me to say, well, is Christmas all sadness? Does it make you think about things? How about this? Last Sunday morning in Wisconsin, a church that the couriers sang in several times. In our lifetime of music in Wisconsin, Mike is my pastor now, and he is from Wisconsin, so he would know the story very well since he has gone to the church there where this happened. This last Sunday, the pastor, been there for 35 years, pastor in the same church, 35 years, wife, family, and the church is, I don't know, I think it's running around 3,000 people. Big church, big pastor, 35 years. What a legacy he was leaving. He had the world by the tail. And last Sunday, he preached his message and went home and hung himself.
Oh, my.
I know the church is in turmoil today. His wife, his family, the church board, and everybody got the message again. Give me the message. I want to listen to it one more time, see if there is any inkling in the message of where he was thinking and going. And wow, it'll make you think a little bit.
Sure does.
Because there's a lot of people who are doing so well, and yet in the deep in their heart, they'd be willing to say, well, I'm tired of living here on earth. I'll see you later. I just want to encourage you that are listening today and are thinking about, wow, I'm tired of living on earth. One of these days, I want to preach a message about suicide. I just got that vision right now. I'm going to... Still good news today. Someday I'm going to share a message about suicide and talk about it in a way that maybe I've never talked before. So you're asking me, but I don't want to put a damper on this program, but boy, somebody put a damper on my life.
Yeah.
And Christmas is going to be different this year, thinking of what people are doing and how many. I guess there's people like that in every church. I'm asking the question, in every church you have 400 or 500 people, how many are contemplating, let's get out of here. I've toughed it long enough. It's over. It's finished. You're talking about success, and I like that. I'm glad you're here today because it's going to give me a while to get that under my belt and to talk about, hey, how can you be a success? Christmas is a very important time. I'm preaching in my own program. I'm preaching like 3 weeks of Christmas messages, one every day. And I want to be victorious in those messages. And I was just studying today, earlier today. In the end, Christmas is going to be more than one day. More than one wake up morning and see the tree and the gifts. Someday we're going to have 1,000 years of Christmases, and it's going to be a wonderful occasion. That should enlighten every one of us to say, I don't care what happens. I'm not going to do a job on my life. I'm going to spend the Christmases in heaven for ever. So what you see determines what you desire. And if you see something in what Cliff and I are saying today, then you begin to desire for yourself, wow, what could I do that could change my life? Christmas could be that this year. It could change your life. And I hope that what we say today will be of interest to you and make your mind work a little bit. You know, when somebody commits suicide, your mind works better than ever. So why not think about things that are right today and things that are good and things that are helpful and get out of the doldrums. I'm preaching to myself today. I want to get up again and say, let's go. God is good to all of us. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, my friend. Your words are truly inspirational. You're talking about how life has its ups and downs, and we all go through that. We all have ups and downs. It's not a good life. It's not a bad life. It's just life. Prosperity. That's what we're trying to glean from all of these words. Prosperity. Prosperity is simply having enough of God's provision to complete his instructions for your life. Maybe we should use the word prosperity rather than success. There is a difference. Success is measured in different ways, but prosperity, that can even be measured in more different ways. To become better, to become prosperous, to show growth, to become a more solid person. That's our prayer. That's our wisdom. And that's what God provides for us. And has he given us enough? My, oh my, there's an old story about the word enough. There's a family that always said that to each other. I just wish you enough. Enough of everything. We have enough food. We have enough transportation. We have enough housing. We have enough roof over our head. We have enough electricity. We have enough gasoline. We have enough of everything. God has made this life very comfortable for us. We are living better than any generation in the history of mankind. We should be very pleased with that. That makes us automatically prosperous. Automatically prosperous. What are you doing with all that prosperity? Are you eternally grateful to God for what he has given to you? God will never advance your instructions because your last act of disobedience. If you are not going to follow God's rules and God's laws, then we can't expect God to show us mercy and more prosperity. You're not going to move forward if you're not going to live a godly life. If you elect to do the wrong thing again and again and again, the mercy will grow thin. You must obey the word of God to live a more godly and prosperous life. Those who do not respect your time will not respect your wisdom either. It's a time-consuming thing to talk about prosperity and growth and positive attitude and living right. You know, what do the kids say these days? Whatever loser, do you ever hear the teenagers sort of mocking someone who does foolish things? Someone who is disrespectful. We commonly use the term loser or something of that nature, a derogatory term indicating that someone is not living a godly life. Well, we don't want to put other people down. I don't want to pass judgment on anybody. It's not for me to do. But I can see if somebody's deliberately doing something sinful, deliberately doing something evil, deliberately doing something ungodly. That's no way to live. Respect your time. Respect what you have available. We only have so many days in this good old earth. Dave cited a couple examples already of those who lost their demise unexpectedly. And we just never know when our day might be us. We never know when that tractor trailer rig is not going to hit the back of this lady's car, but it could be your car. Things happen, so we must be prepared. We live a godly life today and every day. A discontent is a catalyst for change. If you don't like something that's happening, you should plan on doing something about it. One of the biggest mistakes people make is complaining to somebody about an event or an activity or a function or something that's happening, and they don't like it. If you do not have a recommended solution to that problem area, then don't mention it. There's nothing more discouraging than a leader trying to accomplish something. Someone come to them and complain about it, but do not have a recommended solution. If you don't have a recommended solution, remain silent. That's just a good old practical advice for living through this good world that we live in. That'll help you to avoid these crises. You say, well, what is a crisis? Is nothing more than concentrated information. The old deer in the headlights theory. If you have a crisis, you have an immediate need. Something has to be done now. It's a very, very complicated issue at times when I have to say, I need to stop the whole world and take care of this crisis that I have at hand. All of those situations that you described earlier, David, when people have these emergencies and there's an untimely death occurs, an untimely illness, well, that's a deer in the headlights. You know, I must stop now, and I must do something immediately. Not when I get time, not when I'm around to it. I need to do it now. That's what separates the men from the boys, or the Christians from the non-Christians. When you see a Christian need, you need to fulfill that obligation. That's the deer in the headlights. That's concentrated information. Silence cannot be misquoted. When you get into these kinds of debates, or you're tempted to say something about something that you disagree with or something that isn't quite right, if you don't have the best answer or solution to that problem, you must remain silent, or you're going to have more crisis, more deer in the headlights. It's concentrated information to get the best of you if you cannot remain silent. Sometimes that's the best cure we have for our worldly problems, is to remain silent. David, I would imagine throughout the course of your life, when you were tempted to do or say something that you weren't sure if you should or not, remaining silent or suggesting to somebody else to remain silent can be quite a sensitive issue. How do you tell other people to, hey, if you don't have a solution to the problem, don't tell me about it? How do you say that tactfully to other people?
Well, when people come to you for advice and you want to help them, you give them the best advice you can think of. Some of the best information that I've ever given out is the fact that when you want to be somebody in the work of the kingdom, you want to be a Christian, holiness is great when you keep your mouth closed and you can prove that you're holy. You don't have to say it with your mouth. It's a pretty good way to live. To think that, how do people look at me? I'm not talking. I'm not saying anything to them. Then what do they say about me? Is there a holiness involved here? Is there a love of God that is involved? And there are people who have needed to be silent because when they open their mouth, everything is destroyed about what people thought about them. And until you get that worked out, you got to be careful how you are misquoting people, and you're upset at yourself for how you've lived and things haven't gone too right for you. And so you want to yak, and try to convince everybody that you're okay now. But the best way is to be quiet, to be silent, and to let the world see holiness in your life without you even saying anything about God or church or Jesus. It's a good way to live.
Yes, it is.
It's a good way for people to understand who are finding Christ for the first time. And they have beaten up on the world. They've beaten up on the Christians. They've beaten up on their families. And then they have to prove to themselves when they say, hey, I found the Lord. Well, don't talk about it. Show me.
Yeah.
Show me how you found the Lord. And what did he do for you? How did he change your life?
Wow. David, it's just obvious you're a pastor. I thank you for sharing those words. Our listeners are going to glean quite a bit from that thought process. You know, what you're saying reminds me of those who created the pain of yesterday. Do not control the pleasures of tomorrow. In a nutshell, that's what you were saying. Some people just never seem to have a good day, do they? They're just always negative. And those are the ones that you're trying to reach out to. And you know what? You and I as Christians have an obligation or a commitment to bring people to Christ. And you know what Jesus said? It's throughout the scriptures you find that he went every place. He didn't just go looking for the nice, clean-cut, all-American people. He went every place. He went. He worked with prostitutes. He worked with bandits. He worked with all kinds of people who were not considered exactly prophet material. fishermen of all kinds, good and evil. But he worked on everybody. And that's what we're to do. Okay, there is a lot of nasty, negative people out there. But if you don't make some kind of an attempt to bring them around to your thinking, then you're not doing your job. If it doesn't work out, fine. You try, stay away from them if it doesn't work. But you should try. You should try to bring these people around. When you change your focus, you will change your feelings. So if your focus is on good things, stay focused on getting the job done properly. That's a godly attitude. It's an attitude to get things done the way it should be done. What you make happen for other people, God will make happen for you. So if you make others happy and content in their life, it'll be the same for you. And you know something? I should kind of like be the Boy Scout oath. Were you a Boy Scout, David? I sure was. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey Scout laws at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, or morally straight. I'll never forget that oath.
I've never been a Boy Scout.
Oh, weren't you?
But you got that oath down good.
Oh, my goodness.
That's way down deep in your memory.
Oh, my goodness. And the motto is be prepared. And the Boy Scout laws were, a Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Now, everyone who was a Boy Scout says, hey, way to go, you remembered. Well, truthfully, you can't forget. But those kinds of things are what we're talking about here, too. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. So that's just living a good, godly life, sharing with other people. We talked a lot about that one last week, Dave. If you remember, we were talking about giving last week and how sensitive it is. And, of course, during the Christmas season, everyone gets into the giving spirit. But actually, throughout the course of the entire year, we should learn to share with other people and help them the best you can. And it comes back to you. I used to say it comes back to you tenfold. And you were saying, hey, it can come back to you a hundredfold at times. Well, to me, those are good thoughts, good processes, things that we have to do, because God will return those to you. None of us are so wealthy enough that we can go around buying new cars for people the way some of these movie stars do, or these very well-to-do business people. They can afford to do that. You and I can't. But there are things that we can do. Sometimes it doesn't mean dollars out of your pocket. Maybe you're just mowing grass for somebody. Maybe instead of making 2 dozen cookies, you make 4 dozen cookies and give 2 dozen away to a friend who couldn't perhaps have no cookies. It can be the simplest thing in the world to help other people. And it comes back to you tenfold. David, I know you're an expert in that area of giving and sharing. What do you think about making things happen for other people?
I've done that all my life. And I've reaped the benefit of others who taught me how to do that. And when everybody wants to know how you do this, I say you got to give to get. And when you give, you can just almost go out on the porch and wait for it to come. It's unbelievable how it happens.
That's exactly right. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. I'm sitting here stunned by what you're talking about today. You have opened up a whole avenue of good thinking and good talking points. So I just have, man, the Lord let me off the hook today. I'm just sitting here thinking, wow, what a guy this Gift Briner is. He knows how to talk.
Well, thank you, Dave. But it's time for us to be silent now. It's time for us.
You mean it's over?
It's over. We've exhausted our time. I hope our listeners enjoyed what we have to share with them. Until we meet again, Gift Briner saying bye-bye for now.
And Dave Colonna. See you next time. Bye-bye.